Adrenal Alternatives Foundation. Education, advocacy, and encouragement for all adrenal disease. Welcome to the Adrenal Alternatives Foundation podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Adrenal Alternatives Foundation podcast. This is our second episode of the How to Minimize Steroid Side Effects series, and we're here with Dr. Megan. And we just want to put out the disclaimer that this is not a replacement for medical care or treatment, and to check with your physician before you start or stop any medication, treatment, or lifestyle change. So hi, Dr. Megan. Thank you for being our guest today.
Hello. I'm so glad we could do this again.
Yeah. So last week we talked about the different types of steroids and the risk and benefits. And so we've kind of established that sometimes steroids are a necessary evil. And with those necessary evils sometimes come side effects. And one of the main complaints that we hear in our community is people struggle with weight. I know that weight can be a massive issue. You know, but prior to diagnosis, I was severely underweight. I got down to 86 pounds and I'm 5'4", so that was not a healthy weight for me. And then post-steroid use, I was put on both fludrocortisone and hydrocortisone and really wasn't managed quite the way that I was supposed to be. I was actually put on fludrocortisone 3 times a day by my physician, who honest to God did their best but did not know any better. So I gained 10 pounds in 1 week, so much that I had to wear a skirt to work because nothing fit. So I know that you had your bout with steroids as well, where you had to take them. And so in our, you know, experience, I think we've learned some tips and things, and you having your educational background, being in pharmacy and things. So what are some of the main tips that you can give to our listeners that can help them manage the weight battle with steroids?
Yes, I just loved how you said this is a massive challenge. That's a great way to put it. So first of all, it is truly a problem because 70% of people on steroids for any reason are complaining that weight gain is their number one problem. And so the number one thing we need to do is understand how it's happening, because once you understand how it's happening, then you can appreciate the tactics and the strategies and like have a reason to actually implement them. And so the prednisone weight gain is because prednisone acts in a couple of ways. The first way is that it is mimicking cortisol in our bodies. And because of that, it is causing our fight or flight strategy of I need a lot of energy to run away from that cheetah or bear or tiger or whatever right now. And so your blood sugar is elevated so that you would have enough energy to run away as fast as you could. And that's great if you are running away from a tiger, but not if you're trying to heal from whatever your chronic issue is. And for people on this podcast, it's the just surviving adrenal insufficiency. And so knowing that it causes high blood sugar, another word for prednisone and the other steroids is glucocorticoid or corticosteroid. So the gluco part is talking about glucose, and glucose is another word for sugar. And so when we get that, it's causing high sugar, then everything else I say after that makes sense, because the high sugar leads to the weight gain because it's interfering with our ability to use that sugar the way we should. So that's the number one thing is the sugar. For people who don't have the salt wasting form of adrenal insufficiency, the next part is relevant. For those who do have salt wasting, just kind of ignore me for a second. But prednisone is causing the body to retain salt. And so for people who don't have problems with salt wasting, the opposite is happening. For them, they're having way too much salt in their bodies. And salt, and by salt, I mean sodium, is related to water balance. So whenever the sodium level in your blood changes, it changes how much blood volume there is, how much blood is pumping through your body, how hard your heart has to pump. And when there's a lot of salt, that can cause bloating and swelling. And that looks like weight gain. And it feels like weight gain because it is water weight gain. And so those two important things, we're talking about sugar and salt, are how prednisone is causing the real, I mean, those are the two main important ways that we need to think about how prednisone causes the weight gain.
Exactly. And that's a very good point. For those of us that are salt wasting, I can give kind of tips on that from personal experience. Being salt wasting, it is very imperative that you do maintain electrolyte homeostasis. And basically, that's a big word that means your body has all the chemicals that it needs at the right levels. And when you are salt wasting, that's where all the salt cravings come in. And it's that's why we make the joke in the Addy community that, you know, we're all like the pickle juice drinkers, and we're all, you know, like our idea of partying is getting salt wasted. But it's absolutely true. And just, you know, some tips for that, or there are some over the counter things that you can do. Of course, check with your physician, of course, and I do recommend having regular labs to have, you know, your electrolytes checked. They could do that periodically. Just so you know, because, you know, low sodium, low potassium, and also high potassium in primary Addison's are very common. And, you know, your chloride levels and all that kind of stuff can be off. And so it's very important that you have routine labs to make sure that you are in that homeostasis. And if not, there are over-the-counter things like sodium chloride tablets. Basically, they are literal salt tablets. And I have found that before I do anything, you know, strenuous activity, before I work out or anything like that, if I'm in extreme temperatures, which I live in Florida, so that's like every time I walk out the door, you know, anything like that, there are things that you can do to maintain that homeostasis. And there are healthy ways to do it, because I know that, you know, naturally we want to go and grab the bag of chips and the pretzels, and that's really not helping when you have those empty carbohydrates going into your body. So when you do have those salt cravings, if they are really out of control, there are many things that you can do. With me personally, I have a kidney disease in addition to Addison's, and so you can get saline infusions, actually, if you're severely salt wasting to the point where your body just can't do it naturally with nutritional support. So I actually get saline and lactated ringer infusions. So if you're really struggling with your salt wasting, talk to your physician about things like that, because, you know, weight is a factor in health. But if you're not able to, you know, function the way that you want to, when my POTS was out of control because of the salt wasting adrenal disease, I was not able to exercise. And now that I'm getting these IVs and I'm able to maintain homeostasis, I then can work out. And that's another point that I want to make. And Dr. Megan, if you want to reiterate on this as well, when you do have steroid weight, you're going to have the classic weight gain in the classic spots, the buffalo hump and the rubber tire that we call it, around your waistline. That's common. And can you explain kind of the reasoning why those deposits are there with the adipose tissue and all that, Dr. Megan?
Yeah. So the whole metabolism system is being messed up. That's the real thing to understand, is you normally would distribute your fat normally, which would be a little bit everywhere, right? And when you have those high blood sugars and the fat metabolism is being messed up, it changes the way your body uses all of that extra sugar floating around. And the genes that actually code for where to store fat are being modified as well by the prednisone or other steroid. And so it is preferring the most dangerous type of weight gain around your abdomen and the bizarre weight gain around your trunk, your shoulder neck region, and around your face. Those aren't necessarily the most dangerous kinds, but they're weird. It's not what you anticipate having, a buffalo hump. Like, that's not what I grew up to become, a buffalo. So it's a factor of the prednisone is interfering with the metabolism and with the way that your genes for fat storage are being encoded or decoded.
Exactly. And another interesting thing about adipose tissue is it is actually a part of the endocrine system. So if you have any endocrine imbalance, you know, a lot of us that obviously have adrenal disease, that's part of your endocrine system. The adipose tissue is basically your body trying to correct what's wrong in the endocrine system. And there's many studies, and I'll post them in the links to this podcast. But if you research it, the adipose tissue is literally your body trying to save itself. And you look in the mirror and you're like, all right, you're doing too good of a job because you have the buffalo hump. And like, you know, and this is not probably as professional as it could be, but you have like, you know, the front butt is what we call it, because it's like, it's just that overhanging tissue. So, you know, a point that I did want to make to our community is that when you are struggling with adrenal insufficiency, a lot of us can't just go run in a treadmill, you know, especially those of us with POTS and that are salt wasting. Exercise can be very derogatory. And, you know, if you exercise one day and then you're in bed for 3 days and it's a regressive cycle. So I just want to make some suggestions regarding the weight management. If you do low impact exercises, that it's not so much of the high intensity and things like that, because that's actually can, like I said, be dangerous in the cases of severe adrenal insufficiency and salt wasting. So things like foam rolling are excellent because they do work your core, they work those muscles, and they're a full body workout at a low intensity. So your body can handle it much better and you're not putting it under stress, because cortisol obviously is the stress hormone. And so when you have an imbalance and you're stressing your body out, it's regressive. So I just want to really reiterate to this community that if you go and kill yourself on a treadmill, it's not going to help you lose weight. I mean, yeah, you're exercising, yeah, but it's regressive. So things like foam rolling, low impact things like swimming, you know, some people even for whatever reason, I can do a foam rolling exercise. It's super easy. And later this year, we're going to be releasing an exercise series with one of our board members. But anyways, if you do simple things like stretching on an exercise ball or getting these foam rollers or, you know, swimming in a pool or, you know, even just doing simple stretches. I know a lot of people have found relief with yoga, and obviously these things aren't cures, but the point is to keep your body moving. The point is to work these fat deposits and to teach your body that, you know, it's okay to filter these things. And with the adipose tissue, it's collective. And so the more that's there, the more that's going to be there. And it's important to keep your body moving. And the good thing about foam rolling is that most of the time it's these exercises lying down. And so it's not going to increase, you know, I know a lot of us struggle with the low blood pressure and the blood pressure changes. It's lying down. And so you're not going to have that orthostatic effect. And it also gently works all your muscle functions. And you can, in fact, roll on your upper back, and it does work that adipose tissue that has deposited in the buffalo hump. So that is something that I highly, highly recommend to this community. Are there any recommendations that you have, Dr. Megan?
Yeah. So on the exercise, there are two main reasons we need to do it with the side effects of steroids. So the first reason is for your muscles. Prednisone is depleting your muscle mass. It is actively breaking down your muscles. And the only way to combat that is to be using your muscles. And so you need to be doing something. And whether that is lying in your bed and doing, they're just called like tension exercises. You just flex the muscle and release it. So you can just be lying there completely not moving at all and just like clench your gut, clench your abdominals, just hold them for like 10 seconds and release them, and just do that over and over. You're not even moving your heart rate up. You're just using that muscle in the very most minimal way you can, but you need to be doing that in order to fight back against the muscle loss. So that's the first reason, is muscle loss. And there are tons of options. And the very simplest is just that releasing form of exercise where you like squeeze your fist for 10 seconds and then release, squeeze your fist, 10 seconds, release. And at least you're maintaining and not losing muscle mass. So that's the first one, is muscles. And then the second major long-term irreversible consequence is bone loss. And that can lead to osteoporosis, which can lead to broken bones. And nobody wants to have the little hunched over old lady with osteoporosis look from all the compression fractures in the spine just smashing itself. And so in order to do that, you do need to have some sort of impact on the bone. And so whether that is walking or dancing or something where you're putting impact on the bone, and just start slow. If all you can start doing is just walking around your house and then around your block, and however far you can make it, don't push yourself. Just be really gentle, but you need to be using your body. You need to be using your muscles, and you need to be using your bones. And going back to what Winslow said about the high intensity, like running a marathon type of thing, is that is not the kind of thing that is going to help you lose the prednisone weight. It is going to raise your cortisol, and it is going to, well, it is going to make you feel stress, which you need cortisol to cope with. And so you don't want to be doing that, really. You want to be doing the slow and steady type of exercise instead of the really high demand exercises. So I think water aerobics is a fantastic one. I think riding your bike and walking, and I love my exercise ball. And there are so many amazing videos online of, like, when I broke my foot, there was just doing a chair workout. If you don't feel like you can stand up and keep your balance, you can just use a ball on a chair, or you can just, there are other things to just sit in your chair to do. And there are workouts you can do while lying down. So my challenge to you is to find something that you're going to do and schedule a time that you're going to do it for the exercise.
Exactly. And that's, you know, a main point that we really can't reiterate enough, is that the steroid myopathy is a severe issue. And I didn't know it until it was pretty much too late. And that's why it's important that you do work with a reputable endocrinologist that can get your dose right. Because like I said in a previous podcast, it's possible to be over-replaced and under-replaced in the same 12 hours. And so it's important that before you exercise or do anything, you make sure that you give your body what it needs. And that's a trick that I didn't learn until too late. So if you are going to try to exercise or try to do anything, make sure that you give yourself a bolus or up dose beforehand. Talk to your endocrinologist, of course, but it's important that you give your body what it needs. Like Dr. Megan said, you need cortisol to cope with any physical stress, any emotional stress. And when you're adrenal insufficient, you are artificially replicating something that your body's going to do. And so there, I don't want anybody to have the mentality that, oh, you know, I'm going to give myself too much cortisol. Yes, you know, over replacement happens, but the over replacement is much more rare than under replacement. And you can't actually overdose on cortisol. I'm not saying go take 100 milligrams. Don't do that. Obviously, work with your endocrinologist to say, you know, hey, I need to exercise. You know, how much do you recommend before I do that? There's lab testing that can be done to see where your baseline's at. You can have a day curve done, which is basically where you go back and forth to the lab and they check your levels. I mean, there are ways to do this appropriately. But with me, I know before I exercise, I give myself 5 milligrams beforehand. And I do okay with that. And if I'm feeling a little weird or I work out a little too hard, I can then, you know, give myself like a 2.5 afterwards. That works for me. That might not work for you. And I'm not saying do that, but I'm saying talk to your endocrinologist about what works for you. And you also, you have to go off of how you feel. It, you know, your signs of low cortisol symptoms, you know what your body personally feels when you don't have the cortisol that you need. And so it's important to not play cortisol catch up. It's important to take the up dose before you exercise and then watch your body as you're exercising. Because like Dr. Megan said, your body needs cortisol. And if it doesn't have it, it's going to be a regressive effect. So you exercise, I don't want anybody to think in terms of it has to be some like high intensity, like, you know, running or, you know, I used to be a dancer way back in the day and I can't dance to a full song now, but I can, you know, put music on it and do the foam rolling exercises. And you just have to work with what works for your body. And another resource that a lot of people don't think about that is amazing is physical therapy. Physical therapy is covered by most insurance. You can do like a 4 to 6 week intensive where you go like twice a week. And these these physical therapists are trained and licensed to work with people that have disabilities, to work with people that have issues, you know, with high intensity, and they will work with you to build you up. So that is another resource that you can definitely try. Because honestly, with steroid weight, I feel like it's more of the exercise to manage it than the diet. And of course, you know, it's you have to watch your diet. And like Dr. Megan said, you need to stay away from the empty carbs. And that's anybody that's healthy or not. You need to stay away from empty carbs and give your body nutritious, you know, fruits, vegetables, lean meats, you know, whatever that you and your doctor decide is best for you. You have to implement that. But I feel like when you're already eating correctly, it's completely possible to gain weight on steroids, even if you're eating a perfect diet. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Megan?
Yeah, well, it's such a tough thing because whatever food you're eating, you're metabolizing it differently than you normally would. And so you just really have to be extra careful. Back to the sugar. So a lot of people might not know what empty carbs are or what carbs are. And so carbs is the shortened version of carbohydrates, which is sugar. In some ways that it might be in the food is not, doesn't say sugar. And so here's some examples. So high fructose corn syrup, that's in a lot of prepared foods that basically you should just avoid at all costs. It's not compatible with a steroid replacement. Simple sugar, just white sugar, white flour. If you're going to consume flour, you need to consume the whole grain. And then white rice, transition to brown rice. And other refined foods. So things like what you'd find in the bakery, cookies, cakes, bread, donuts and rolls, candy, soda pop, syrup, jelly, chips, crackers, instant pretty much anything like a box dinner, pasta. And if it's labeled fat-free, it's probably high in sugar. And so these foods are just going to make your blood sugar go sky high, which is going to mess up your insulin, which is going to make you store all that high sugar as fat. And so there have been a lot of different dietary strategies that people have suggested. I know that there are people who do really well on a keto diet, and keto is basically a strategy where you cut out most sugar in your diet and focus on protein and mostly fat. And that's one strategy that I've heard people really do well with not gaining weight. And then another option is basically instead of focusing on meat and things like that to get the blood sugars low, is to focus on plants. So a whole food plant-based diet and avoiding any refined foods. So either end of that spectrum, either all plants or all meats, somewhere in the middle where you're not eating stuff that was made in a manufacturing facility, then you're pretty good. I don't think you can go wrong with either option. It's just whether you like preparing vegetables or preparing meats, you know, either way, you need to focus on nutrient dense foods because prednisone steals 10 nutrients as part of what it's doing. And some of the very most important nutrients include potassium, chromium, and magnesium. And so the potassium, for people who don't have POTS or salt wasting or other issues, if it's strictly a steroid replacement side effect that you're looking at, the prednisone is stealing the potassium. And so you need potassium to maintain a steady blood sugar. And great forms of potassium are usually in plants. And so green leafy vegetables, broccoli, all of those things are great sources of potassium. And then the magnesium is also super important, not only to maintain the steady blood sugar, but also to have the proper bone strength. And then finally, the chromium. Chromium is essential for your body to be able to use that sugar properly. And that's one of the main ways that prednisone and other steroids are stealing your ability to metabolize your sugar correctly, is by having low chromium. And so eating foods high in chromium and even taking a chromium supplement is a good idea, because it can help you use that sugar better.
Exactly. And another point that most people don't realize is that sugar is hidden in everything. And I didn't even know this until I started researching it. But there is more sugar in 2 teaspoons of ketchup than there is a Krispy Kreme donut. Isn't so even little things like sauces and things like that. Like, I'm from the South, and sweet tea is like, everybody drinks sweet tea. And when I got on steroids, that's one of the first things that I had to give up, because I would drink the sweet tea and then my heart rate would go really elevated. And I'm like, why is my heart rate 142? And the only thing I could figure out was the tea. Well, I was like, well, maybe it's the caffeine. Well, then I could drink the caffeine-free tea and it still was doing that. And it was because that, first of all, it's liquid sugar. Your body just gets it in your bloodstream immediately. And so it's not always in what you think. It's not always, you know, the piece of cake or whatever. I mean, it's in ketchup and it's in salad dressings. And so you might be trying to eat healthy with the salad, but if the salad dressing is like full of sugar, you're still going to have to really watch what you're eating and drinking. And there are little hidden things. Let me just encourage everybody to read labels. Educate yourself on what goes into your body. And, you know, like she mentioned, a lot of people are plant-based. A lot of people are keto. I do not care for the keto. I'm not a big meat person. And, you know, I tend to do better with fruitarian is pretty much what I follow, which is weird, but without a gallbladder, leafy greens are not my best friends. But you have to find a diet that works best for you. If anyone needs help, that is actually what my licensures are in. So, you know, feel free to message us. We can try to work with you. And there, you know, your physician can refer you to registered dietitians and things like that. So if anybody needs help with that, feel free to reach out to the foundation. And Dr. Megan also has some amazing resources on, you know, long-term steroid management and things like that on her website. So we'll post those links in the comment section of the podcast. So is there anything else you'd like to add, Dr. Megan?
I think I just like to challenge everybody to find a way to incorporate exercise into every day. And one of the important things is to build it next to some other task in your life that has to happen that you can't choose not to do, like brushing your teeth. If you're really good at brushing your teeth every day, then make it the habit that immediately after you brush your teeth in the morning, you get out those foam rollers and you just do that exercise, so that it's something you don't have to even think about anymore. So that's the first thing, is everybody choose a way that you're going to get exercise to be part of your life. And then the second is to really go through your pantry and figure out what is not compatible with this lifestyle, and be really like, this is life or death. Like, you got to throw it away. So find what is good for you and find the best ways to cook it.
Exactly. And let me just encourage anybody that's listening to this. I probably would have listening to this a year ago been like, oh yeah, right, exercise every day. How can you do that? I was so sick that I couldn't get out of bed. Let me just encourage you that you can build your strength. You can rebuild your body. You can take your strength back that was taken from you from whatever steroid that you were on. I was on hydrocortisone every 90 minutes because I was a hypermetabolizer, and I couldn't even, like, there was at one point I couldn't even put pants on by myself or shower by myself. Physical therapy was a great resource for me, and you just have to build up. So I don't want anybody to see this as like some Mount Everest that they have to climb every single day. It's not like that. Mm-mm. You're rebuilding your muscles. And so exercise doesn't have to be this 30-minute run. It can be you laying in bed, just doing leg lifts and, you know, clenching your muscles like Dr. Megan mentioned. And like I said, in the future, we're going to be releasing some exercises with one of our fantastic board members, who is a former Air Force recruiter, and she literally trained people in the military and then ended up having adrenal issues herself. So she's going to be doing that in the future. But just be encouraged that Dr. Megan and I and our foundation is here to help you with these battles, because we're all in it together. And nobody nobody blames you for this. And I know that, you know, we might have family members or friends or whatever that are critical of our weight, but just know that it's not your fault and that you can take control. So we have one more of these episodes that we'll be recording next week. So I hope you tune into that. Thank you, Dr. Megan, for being our guest today. For more information, visit our website, adrenalalternatives.com, or our social media pages, facebook.com/hopeforadrenaldisease, Twitter is Adrenal Advocate, and Instagram is Adrenal Alternatives Foundation. Adrenal Alternatives is a 501c3 patient empowerment organization dedicated to encouragement, education, and advocacy for all adrenal disease.